When, well, I thought I knew what the Lord wanted me to preach on this morning until Ronnie and the praise and worship come along and kind of messed it up. So I just may preach two sermons in one. I may just look at all my papers and see what happens. Amen. I have a lot of notes, and the reason I do is it's not that I don't trust God, I don't trust myself. I trust the anointing and I trust God, but it's different when you're up here and all them eyeballs are looking back at you. Amen. Hallelujah. But the anointing's sufficient. He knows what he's doing. He called me. I didn't just wake up one morning and thought, I think I'll preach. I still wrestle with it. And if he wants to give it to somebody else, that's fine with me. But in the meantime, this is what you got. Hallelujah. Amen. So I pray that I believe the Lord wants me to share with you today will be a blessing, and that you get something out of it. It's not how long you preach, it's what you preach when you preach. And I don't even like to talk on the phone. If anybody's talking on the phone with me, you know that I say what I need to say and then I hang up. I don't even say bye. I don't have many times pastors call me back or my husband's call me. I wasn't finished talking. Oh, okay, well, what do you want? So I'm just like, I'm a direct person. Say what I need to say. I don't talk that much. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your word today, that your word is anointed to destroy every yoke in the name of Jesus. We've laid aside every distraction because we want to hear from you today, God. We don't want to leave this place without hearing a word from you today. Every person that's in this place today here, God, is here by direct guidance of the Holy Spirit. And I thank you, Father God, for your word that you have placed in my heart to give these people today, and that it would come forth, Lord, the way that you'd want it to, that you would hide me behind the cross for a little while, that I may be able to minister under the anointing of the Holy Spirit to deliver your word today. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read you, first of all, a prophetic word, and we'll just kind of go from there and see what the Holy Spirit wants us to say concerning some things this morning. And the word that God gave me, a direct prophetic word that God gave me it goes like this. For this is indeed the season that I'm moving quickly and suddenly. For there are those who have grown weary in the waiting. Wake up, wake up. For the Lord shall suddenly come to his temple. Not to the temple made with man's hands, but the temple where God now abides. Clear the way and invite the King of glory to come and to do what he has promised. Yes, make way with shouts of praise and songs of victory, for surely the mouth of the Lord has spoken, and it shall be. No longer be bowed down, but strengthen yourself and be thankful. For a thankful heart I long to speak to. Long for me, and yes, make yourself hungry for me. Hungry to know me and hungry to see me. I will fulfill those who are hungry. Cry out to me with your whole heart. Seek me, and there you will find me. Suddenly I will appear and make things right. Amen. How many's got some things in your life that you need to be made right? Amen. It's time for some things to come into order. Hallelujah. And be like the Word says it's supposed to be. That includes your children, your job situation, your health, whatever you are seeking God for. There is a spirit of acceleration that's in the land today, because the glory of the Lord shall be seen upon the land. And that spirit of acceleration, that spirit of acceleration is happening. And there's a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit blowing. And when the wind begins to blow, and there's different seasons that God says, now is the time. That's not the time to sit back, but that's the time to jump in and grab a hold of what God is saying. Amen. So there is also a spirit of acceleration happening, that God says, now is the time. I'm doing some things for my people. Now is the time, because my glory needs to be seen up on the land. And that glory is going to be seen through who? Amen. That glory is going to be seen through us, so people will be drawn to the salvation of Jesus Christ. You know, our victory is not based on what happens in the White House. Amen. We need to pray for those people. But and our jobs are not our support. It's there and we get the paycheck, but it's God. Hallelujah. It's the one that's going to take care of his people. Amen. He said, I never leave you, I never forsake you. So God is making some things right. And this is the season he's moving suddenly. Amen. I wrote on the Sunday handout that God, when you get saved, there's a song that's been placed in your heart by God. And it's a song that nobody else can have. And Pastor Laverne has mentioned this before. It's a song that's been placed there that's your special song between you and God. Because, you know, not everybody knows all of your testimony. But all of us have a testimony. Amen. All of us have been brought out of something. Some of us have been brought out of stuff more than other people. Amen. But that song that God has placed in your heart is your own special song of knowing that God is real to you. And it's that place in your heart that nobody else can touch, no matter how much you love somebody, that nobody else can touch but God. And he has placed a song there for you. And it's the enemy's job, amen, the enemy of our soul's job is to come and to steal that song. And one way he does it is causes us to be weary in the waiting and begin to ask, when, God, when? So when we become weary, it makes us tired. And so therefore, when we get tired in our spirits and get tired, we tend to quit believing God. We tend to settle less than what God says can be ours. Amen. Because we grow weary in the waiting. Weary in the waiting. Amen. There's a man in the Bible by the name of David. And we've all heard stories of David. If you've been in church and raised in churches, you know, you've heard stories of David and about this great man of David. Amen. But David always had a heart that was turned toward God, and he was not perfect. Amen. He made some pretty, pretty stupid choices. Amen. In Psalm 63, I'm going to read verse 1 through 5. It says, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I've seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul shall be satisfied as with the riches of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night because you are my help. So when I read in Psalms about the stories David has written, I always wondered where David was at in his life. What was he going through when he penned a particular passage in Psalms? So when we read about this particular passage in Psalms in 63, we find out that it was at the death of Saul, David was anointed king of Judah. We know that. So if we go on to read in 2 Samuel chapter 6, David had brought the Ark of the Covenant back to the city of Jerusalem. And it was placed in a new tabernacle, for it had been about 70 years since the original tabernacle it had been in the wilderness. So we understand in the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God and everything God revealed himself to be. So wherever the ark went, that's where the presence of God went. That's where the presence of God was located. The ark was the center of the nation's worship, and it was the most sacred of possessions. So David began to reestablish and strengthen the worship of God. So he began to organize a place of worship to a place where people had not experienced it before, to where it had not been before. So we know David to be the sweet psalmist of Israel. He was known to be skillful upon the harp. He arranged worship services in the temple. His musical activity was referred to in the Bible, in the book of Amos and Ezra and Nehemiah. So we know David to be a worshiper, one that worshiped and praised God. He had a song in his heart, a song that God had placed there. Amen. So David knew about the presence of God. He knew about worship. Amen. So David was a righteous king, we understand. But even though he was righteous, he was still subject to sin, which sin simply means missing the mark. There's no sin greater than any other sin. Sin simply means missing the mark. And we all do that. We all have things in our life that we are missing the mark at because we haven't arrived yet. Amen. So, but David's heart was always directed toward God. He always had a heart that wanted to serve God, to worship God, to go after God. That was a song in his heart that nothing he'd done or anything could take that away from him. So even in our lives, we're trying to overcome and we may be missing the mark. Where is our heart directed at? But sometimes when we do miss the mark, what the enemy wants to come in is say, oh, you've done it now. You sinned. You shouldn't have because you're supposed to be perfect now that you're saved. Amen? So that's what the enemy wants to do, is to wear us down, to cause us to grow weary, to keep us from singing that song that he has placed in our hearts. So what is that song, you know, that God places in your heart? It's when you're in the middle of chaos, but still there's this song, Lord, I know that you're God. I know that you're still God. In the middle of work and things are chaotic, no matter what, you know, I know you're still God. It don't matter. My kids are acting stupid. You're still God. Amen. My dog's sick, dying, but you're still God. Amen. This is happening, but you're still God. There's still that bubble in your spirit, that bubble in your heart that nobody can take away. Amen. That is the song of the Lord that he's placed in your heart. So reading the chapters in Psalm, David was referred to as having written it, always interested to go back and see where David was in his life at that time. So we understand that David had been king for many years in Israel and was blessed by God. You know the story of how David had missed the mark and all the stories about him doing all kinds of stuff. But Absalom began to turn the hearts of the people against David. Absalom was David's son. Amen. So 2 Samuel chapter 15, 13 says, the hearts of the men of Israel are with Absalom. So Absalom drove David out of Jerusalem, drove him out of his palace, out of his place of worship of the people of God, away from the temple where the ark, the presence of God was, from the courts of Zion into the wilderness. What drives you away from the presence of God? It's like we were talking about missing the mark a while ago and things going on. If we're not careful, we will allow that to draw us away from the song that God has placed in our heart. Amen. So David was drove away from the very thing that he had established, brought worship back, the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God. He was driven to a place in the wilderness. Amen. So have you ever been driven out of your place of worship? You know, you get all this stuff going on in your mind, and then when you do come to church, it's hard to hear from God because you've lost your song. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. So here David, King David, was in the wilderness. Amen. He had been anointed king. But here he found himself away from the presence of God. And with his rebellious son Absalom ruling in Jerusalem, David thought he had lost everything. But in having lost everything, that is still David still had his song. David still had his song. So how many know that praise, real praise, true praise, is birthed out of adversity? That's why you see somebody radically praising God. Don't judge them. You don't know what they're praising God for. You don't know what they're praising God because what he has brought them out of. Amen. So sometimes a quiet praise is wonderful. Sometimes you need to get radical about your praise. It's not that God is hard hearing. You need to get some stuff out there in the atmosphere. Amen. So when you begin to get stuff out there in the atmosphere and begin to speak the word of God with radical praise, things begin to line up. Because we create the atmosphere over us with the words we speak. Amen. So we understand that Judah means praise. So here he was. David was in the wilderness of Judah. Now we understand Judah to mean praise, to reverend or worship with an extended hand. With an extended hand. So we understand that wilderness, according to the Webster's Dictionary, is to be an uncultivated land, an area that is empty or barren. So here was David in the wilderness, a place of uncultivated ground, dry and barren, but the meaning of the place was praise. Amen? So it could mean an uncomfortable place, an uncomfortable situation, a place or things that makes one feel confused, overwhelmed, or desolate. Have you ever been there? To that wilderness. Amen. So here was David in this place, which means praise, but yet he was feeling all these things in this place. So David must have been feeling all these emotions in this wilderness, which meant praise. He was there because of his own blood kin, because of his own relatives. How many know your kinfolks, those closest to you, can drive you in the wilderness faster than anybody else? Amen. How many knows that those who are closest to you will steal the song from your heart if you allow them to quicker than anybody? Amen. Because they're the ones that should be supportive of you. They're the ones that should be encouraging you. So here was David in a place where his own son had driven him to. And I looked up the word wilderness in Hebrew and was very surprised at the meaning. In Hebrew, the wilderness means speech. You know, we know it according to the Webster's to mean uncultivated, dry and barren, you know, a dark place. But in the Hebrew, the definition of wilderness means speech. It means to arrange, commune, declare, or pronounce. So David was in a place where he needed to pronounce, he needed to proclaim, amen, of who his God was, and not allow that song to be stolen from his heart. David was in Judah, praise, but a wilderness. A wilderness. David was driven to a natural place of Judah. It was not that David was just separated from his rule and power as king, but was separated from everything, the religious ceremonies in Jerusalem. He was separated from all support. Amen. Have you ever felt alone, even in the house of God? Amen. Have you ever felt just alone? So David, here was David in this place, separated from fellowship of everyone else. Amen. It was just him and his God. And there's time in your lives, and I'm sure some of you experienced it. If you're not, you will. There's a time in your life when it's just going to be you and God. Because we all go through midnight hours when nobody else is around, whether it's really the midnight hour in the nighttime or the midnight hour in the daytime, we all will go to a place where there's nobody but you and God. And that's where you are stripped down, amen, and barren before God and say, okay, it's just me and you, God. Search my heart and know me. Where is my song? Where is my song? Where is my song? So if you're here, you may be at a place in your life where you may say, I don't want to be here. I don't like it here. It's not my choice to be here. But at the moment, it seems that it's just the way it is. Have you ever been there? Situations or circumstances in our lives, and you don't want to be there. You have no desire to be there. But at the moment, there's nothing you can do about it. That's the time you get real before God and you let yourself, let God see you. Amen. Okay. This is where the rubber hits the road, so to speak. You know, we need to talk God and to get real before God, and he can handle it. He already knows it anyway. He can handle it. Be real. Be real. Amen. So even Moses said, Lord, I don't want to go there, but if I do, where your presence does, I won't go unless your presence goes with me. In other words, that's what Moses is saying. I may have to be in that place. I may have to go through this. But if your presence goes with me, I know there's going to be an ending to it. Amen. Help me get my song back. Hallelujah. Help me get my song back. So David needed a presence. So there was a praise he must get within himself that was suitable to his circumstances. Like I said a while ago, there's a time when it's a quiet worship and just a quiet praise. And then there's a time where it's warfare praise. And it's okay. That's the time you get out and you just begin to talk loud to the atmosphere. Amen. And watch things begin to line up as you decree and declare. Amen. So in Psalm 63, verse 1, David begins to talk to God. And he begins to remind himself of who God is. And he says, God, you are my God. David, and then David put himself in remembrance that the covenant that God had made with his people. He says, I will be your God and you will be my people, David reminds God. He said, this word, put me in remembrance. God tells us to put me in remembrance of my word. Put me in remembrance of my word. Early or earnestly will I seek you. So he begins to express what he desires. My soul thirsts for you. That's making yourself hungry for God. Making yourself hungry for the presence of God is to begin to declare, my soul is hungry for you, God. My soul thirsts for you, God. So David is saying right at the start, in the wilderness, he began to say, I'm going to seek you. I'm going to go after you because my soul, this word soul here is more than just the inner person, but it's the whole person. When I began to study that, it's the whole person, like I was saying a while ago, stripping yourself before God and saying, this is the real me. So he said, everything that I am, I'm crying out to you, God. I am here because my son has placed me in this wilderness, but I'm going to praise you. I'm going to keep my song in spite of how it looks. So he began to put himself in remembrance of who God was, of his covenant with God, and what God had said. He said, I've lost everything out here, but who I really am will worship you. And you know, that's when the real us comes out. It's when our backs are against the wall. Amen? When our backs are against the wall and we're faced with situations, circumstances that we have no control over, whether we have put ourselves in that or whether we've been put there by other people, amen? That is when the real us comes out. He said, I've lost everything, and here I am. I don't want to be here, but I'm here. Amen? My back is against the wall, but who I am will worship you. Will worship you. So Psalms 42 says, David says, as the deer pants for the water brook, so longs my soul for you. David goes on and says, my flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Water, we know, is the substance of life. And we can live in the natural a long time with just water. But in the wilderness, there was not even water here. David says, there is nothing here that can fulfill my flesh. There is nothing here that can fulfill the desires of my flesh. But it's you that I'm seeking. Not a relationship, not church, not money, not anything. Not the latest fashion. You can have all the money and still be poor in spirit. Amen. Nothing will satisfy me, Lord, but you. That's making yourself hungry for God. Amen. So verse 2 says, so I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and glory. As I have seen your power and glory in the temple, I know that your loving kindness is better than life. Psalms 5-11 says, let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor, and you will surround them with a shield. Amen. Then he goes on to say what two things he uses because of the loving kindness that David has come to understand. Two things. He says his lips or mouth and his hands is what he will use to express his praise to God. You know, we worship God with our tithes and offerings. We worship God even by coming to the church. But two ways we can worship God is with extended hands, shaking off those burdens, amen, and with our mouth by expressing what God has done for us, amen. So his lips and his mouth and hands, as long as he said, as I live, shall praise you. And he allowed, see, what was already inside of him to be expressed through him. You know, when you got saved, you got everything you needed to walk what God has destined you to walk in. It's already there. Amen. The moment you were conceived in your mother's womb, your DNA and everything happened. Amen. The sex you were supposed to be and everything. Glory to God. And it's the same way when you got saved and you got born again. The moment you said, Jesus, I need you. Come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins. Everything was placed in your spirit at that moment because you got reconnected with the one that created you. That's why there was such joy and excitement when you got saved and you had to tell everybody that you got saved. Why? Because you got reconnected with the man, with God, that made you in the first place, that breathed the breath of life into you. So everything is already inside of you. Amen. We have to activate it. Activate it by the words of our mouth, by getting into the Word and learning and allowing the Holy Spirit to teach us who we are. And then begin to walk out what God has already said we are. Amen. We are a victorious people. Amen. He said, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I lift up my hands in your name. Now, praise is an expression of faith and a declaration of victory. It declares that we believe God is with us, is in control of all outcome of our circumstances. And Romans 8:28 says, praise is a sacrifice, something that we offer to God. Amen? So not praise and sacrifice, stuff that we offer to God sacrificially, not just because we feel like it. When you don't feel like it, it's the time you need to sing the song that God has given you. Amen? And it says, because we believe in Him, trust Him. Hebrews 13:15 says, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit, talking about our lips again and the words we speak, giving thanks to His name. So we need to watch what we are saying. Amen? When we choose to do this, verse 5 says, my soul, the real me, shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness. Because the real you is the spirit man. What you hear is just housing your soul and your spirit. But the real you is your spirit. Amen? The real you is your spirit. The word marrow here is used to emphasize how intensely or deeply somebody is affected by something. So David says in verse 5, when I choose to praise you, my soul, the real me, the marrow and fatness of who I really am, shall be satisfied. Glory to God. Why? Because the real you, your spirit man, when you choose to praise and worship God, is connecting, is reconnecting. Amen. You know, something that's supposed to be run by electric will never run if you plug it into the source. Hallelujah. And that's the way it is with God. Our source, when we get to praise and worship Him, we're staying connected to the one that created us, to the breath of life that was breathed into us, which is our Creator. Amen. So through this psalm, we see David not just satisfying his heart to long for God and the satisfaction of God to rejoice in Him, but he's going to express it corporately and worship of the people of God. So when we come together as one, and we corporately unite our faith together, draw strength from each other as we lift our hands and publicly declare who our God is. Amen. To publicly declare who our God is. So this has shown us when all has been taken away in our lives and we've gone to that place that sometimes we don't want to be. Quit beating yourself up because it may have been a choice that you've made, but just pick yourself up. You don't have to go back to where you started from and do all it all over again. Amen. If you have fallen, just pick yourself up and say, keep going. Because a marathon runner, I've heard if you run a 25K, about the 16th mile is when you hit that wall. At that point, you decide to quit or to not finish. And a lot of them, it's not the ribbon or the trophy they win, but it's being able to accomplish something that they've set out to do. You know, the Bible says that those that endure to the end shall be saved. And we think about that, we don't think about, well, if I endure to the end and get over all this, I'll make it to heaven. No, the blood of Jesus and accepting what He did is what's going to get you into heaven. But that word salvation is a bigger term than just the blood of Jesus saving you and getting to heaven. I don't know about you, I need some help now. The road gets bumpy now. So it's those endure to the end of whatever you are going through, you're going to be delivered. That's what I understand when I read that verse. Those that endure to the end shall be delivered, shall be set free, amen, shall be victorious. So whatever you're going through, it shall pass. This too shall pass. So the power of praise. Psalms 34 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise. His praise. What is His praise? It's whatever the Word says, amen. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble will hear thereof and be glad. Magnify the Lord, corporate worship. Magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. When you read the Bible, many times the enemies of Israel encamped around Israel's enemies encamped around about them. And God told Joshua to send out the tribes of Judah first. Remember, Judah means praise. Amen. So He said, just send out the praisers first. Even though the enemies can't camp around about you, send the praisers out. Let's get some things settled. Send the praisers out. Amen. So we understand that Judah means praise. Judah marched before the enemies of Israel armed with nothing but instruments of praise. What is your instrument of praise today? Your mouth. Extended hands, your mouth, instruments of praise. So they began to praise God with their whole heart. that song of the Lord that he puts in your heart. God set ambushes among the enemy and confused them. How many is ready for God to send the ambushes, the enemy, and confuse them? And what was meant to take you out and take you down is going to take you over. Hallelujah. You know, hallelujah. When they begin to praise God with their whole heart, God set ambushes among the enemy and confuses them. That's why when we begin to praise God and we get that praise out there in the atmosphere, the enemy gets confused because that's the last thing he wants you to do. And sometimes that's the last thing that he would expect you to do in the midst of whatever may be going on, and you find yourself in the wilderness. You know, when you begin to praise God and you begin to set some things out there in the atmosphere, things begin to happen behind the scenes that you're not even aware of. Glory to God. The moment you open your mouth and begin to express, hallelujah, all heaven backs you up, glory to God. I believe it comes to attention. The angels come to attention. You command the angels to go, hallelujah. You've been given authority, as I said a couple of Sundays ago. And then when you begin to speak in that authority, God backs you up. He said, that's my son and that's my daughter. You go, hallelujah. You've been given authority in the earth now, glory to God. So they will begin to praise God. God set ambushes among the enemy and confused them. So we could take the same principle and know what happens in the spirit realm when we begin to praise and worship God. And like I said, it's the last thing the enemy would expect you to do. And it does something to you. And it goes back to that reconnecting with the man, with God that created you. Hallelujah. That's why you feel this churning inside of you when you get in the house of the Lord or when you hear a worship song. Hallelujah. Your spirit man begins to stir up. And that which is already deposited within you begins to become activated. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's why it's important to get into the Word and keep that song that God has placed in your heart. Glory to God. Because what's already in there. Hallelujah. You know, we strive and strive to find the purposes of God. And we pray and all that God said. It's there. Just walk it out. Amen. Just start walking. I've already walked the beginning to the end, hallelujah, and the end from the beginning. I already know you're sitting down and rising up and everything that's going to happen. Nothing takes me by surprise. Glory to God. So when we begin to praise God, there's things that begin to happen. Things are set in motion. Things start getting right. So when we begin to do that, it will confuse the enemy and confound him. And when we begin to praise, we replace our thoughts, the enemy thoughts that he puts there, with the thoughts of God and what he thinks about us. So we're using the Word, the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and that begins to transform our thoughts. And we begin to renew that song of the Lord that he's put in our spirit. So in the middle of whatever, in the middle of the wilderness, of the darkness of the night, the deliverance may not come when you want it to, or it may not come in the way you want it to, but you can still hear the voice of God in the middle of being delivered. Amen. Because we are on a road of progression. Hallelujah. We're in the process, hallelujah, being all that God has called us to be. None of us have arrived yet. Hallelujah. So it's because in the middle of the darkest of your night, in the middle of your wilderness, the deliverance may not come when you wanted to or the way you wanted to, but it's coming. Amen. You may not experience the manifestation of it, but God has already delivered you. He has already healed you. He has already made you prosperous. We need to be expecting, not praying for it so much as we need to be have the expectation of the manifestation of it. It could happen any day. Hallelujah. It could be as suddenly. God says, I am moving suddenly and I am moving quickly. And he's telling us to wake up, wake up, wake up. Be sober, be vigilant, because your enemy is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Hallelujah. We're not being devoured by the enemy, but just activate what God has already put inside of you and expect the manifestation. Hallelujah. Instead of trying to pray so much down, just start walking in it. You are the kingdom of God in the earth now, and the kingdom of God is within you. Hallelujah. So we just start manifesting, seeing the manifestation of God's glory in the land through the likes of us. Hallelujah. Because it's because you've learned to say, Lord, I love you and I praise you. I'm not understanding, but I still love you and I still praise you. I may be in trouble, but I still love you and I still praise you. Amen. I will bless the Lord at all times. And God loves music. As Darlene was saying about how music draws. Anointed music draws people to God. Amen. That's why the enemy, that's why the enemy loves music so much, and he tries to distort it in so many ways. Amen. It's because he knows, the enemy knows the power of music. Hallelujah. So in 2 Kings 3:15, it says, "But now bring me a minstrel." It came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. Elisha requested a musician. He was saying, "Get me to somebody who will play me a song." Began to stir up the song of the Lord that's already in your heart. The enemy wants to steal that song and cause you to quit singing, to cause you to quit remembering what God has done. So the Bible says that when the minstrel began to play, the word of the Lord began to flow out of Elisha's mouth. When you get that song of the Lord that is given you stirred up inside of you, you know what begins to happen? You begin to prophesy. Amen. Allow the Spirit of the Lord to prophesy to you about your life, about your family, about your husband, about your children, about your future. Amen. The prophetic gift is not just so that you can minister to the other people, but it's so that you can minister to yourself. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. So the Spirit that began to play, the word of the Lord began to flow out of Elisha's mouth. Get in the presence of the Lord and say, "Lord, renew that song that you've given me. However I may have lost it, when I lost it, or why I lost it, it's not important. But renew that song that I know that's in my heart. Renew it again so that I can sing it even in the midst of wilderness, even in the midst of a bad doctor's report, even in the midst of whatever may be going on. Renew that song that I know that's in my heart that you placed there." So don't allow anything or anyone to take your song from your heart. David said, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." The Bible tells us the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. If he and somebody wrote a book years ago, it was a little bitty book, I can't remember who wrote it, and it's about the joy of the Lord being your strength. And this author said, if the devil can steal your joy, he's got you. Amen. That's why it's important that we keep and renew the song that God has given each of us. Amen, within our heart, because that gives us strength, amen, to overcome. So don't allow anyone or anything to take the song from your heart. David said, "Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands." God begins to start moving. All heaven begins to start moving when you direct your praise to God. In the middle of whatever wilderness you find yourself in, renew the song of the Lord that's in your heart. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Thank you, Lord. Whether, I don't even know if the internet's on or not, but if you're listening by internet this morning and you're here this morning and you've lost the song in your heart. Whatever reason, that song is just not there like it used to be. You've been through a lot. It seems like that there's just not the strength there to bring forth that song this morning. I want to pray for you. I want us to reconnect with our Creator this morning. And by praying with you, coming into agreement with you, that your song is going to be restored. That you're going to remember. Put yourself in remembrance of what God has done for you. And begin to sing. And begin to sing in the Spirit. Amen. So I will sing in the Spirit. And I will sing with understanding also. God wants to renew the song that he has placed in your heart. The things that we go through, like I said, causes us to grow weary. And when we grow weary, we grow tired. Have a tendency to quit believing. We lay those prophetic words on a shelf and they're collecting dust. We lay the Bible down and it's collecting dust. We've allowed cobwebs to come into our mind and we begin to think things that's not biblical, that's not in line with the Word. And God wants to restore the song of the Lord in your heart today. And just to remind you that He loves you. He loves you. You'll go into next week. In the morning, get up. It's so important to just praise God for a few minutes before you get out of the bed, because you're laying a foundation of what's going to happen that day. And the first, how many knows, the first 30 minutes after you get up, If we're not careful, it affects the rest of our day. Whatever may happen, if we allow it to. Amen. So go into this next week with a foundation laid of saying, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Whatever I have to face this week, God, I may not know all of it yet, but I know that me, you, and the Holy Ghost together can overcome.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. That's three in agreement with. Three in agreement. Me and the Holy Ghost and you. Nothing's going to happen this week that you and I can't handle together. And I choose to keep the song of the Lord in my heart. Amen. If anybody want to come up this morning and just come into agreement, I'll come into agreement with you. Hallelujah. That God is able and he's going to restore the joy of the Lord. The song back into your heart. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your word that has gone forth today. I thank you that ears have heard what your Spirit has said to us today. I speak restoration in every area of our life. Peace, nothing missing and nothing broken. Thank you for your word that has gone forth today, God. That it's accomplished its purpose. And that the joy of the Lord is our strength. That song, God, that you've given us is being restored right now in the name of Jesus. Right now in the name of Jesus, the joy of the Lord is being restored to you. Thank you, Father, for your word and for accomplishing your word in these people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen.